Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Footwork is brought to you by...
The Talent Project is America's bridge to Europe for the elite few, providing opportunities for young American players that they can't get in the United States. We're looking for a few good men. Visit us at www.talentproject.com and see if you qualify.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork. Mike Lansing is a professional goalkeeper for AFK in the top league in Norway. He played 4 years at Bucknell University before making a jump over the Atlantic, signing in Denmark's second tier. Over the next 4 seasons, Mike played for 2 teams in the Superliga, Denmark's top league. In 2021, he left Denmark to play in Norway's second tier, helping his team to promotion to Norway's top flight. Mike shares with us the mindset needed to be a keeper, the difficulties when being second string, the importance of enjoying life outside of football, the takeaways from living abroad, and much more. This is 90% Mental with Mike Lansing.
Mike Lansing, welcome to Footwork.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always start with the motto here, so make your own path. Someone who doesn't seem afraid to kind of pack up and travel the world for opportunities, wherever it may be. What does making your own path mean to you?
I would say having a plan, sticking to it, sticking true to yourself, and not stepping on toes along the way, and kind of holding those relationships that help you along the way, like close to you, and you know, make sure you don't use people just to get to where you want to go, but to, you know, cherish those relationships and, you know, have trust in the process that, you know, maybe you deviate from the path, but like you'll end up where you want to be, you know, no matter what. So as long as you kind of stay focused.
Love that. Now, who are you? Where were you? And where are you going?
See, that you didn't prepare me for. Right. Who am I? I'm a jack of all trades. I love the outdoors. I'm a big family man. I love to dive and fish and camp, and you know that's why Norway is such a nice place for me. Mm-hmm. But I also love to play football. I love to compete. And I'm striving to get the best out of myself. That's always been my goal, to look back and say, like, you know, I stayed true to who I was and I did the most that I could. What was the other one?
Where were you?
Let's see, unconventional route, baseball in high school, college soccer, want to go into the FBI, from Denmark. Play there for some years, go to Norway, played here a couple of years, and then where am I going? Like I said, just trying to get the best out of my life and out of my career. So, you know, the future is unknown, and that doesn't scare me so much. And, you know, just striving to improve.
You said baseball in high school. So, I mean, did you feel like that was like the path? Were you trying to become a pro in baseball and then kind of switched? Where did that
come I kind of thought it was going to be baseball at first. Yeah. And that was kind of the main sport until junior high school, maybe. And then I had a couple coaches for football say like, hey, you should really try to do a little more with football. And I was like, okay. Because I wasn't hearing that so much, I guess, with baseball. And then I stuck with football. And then all of a sudden in college, my college coach was like, hey, maybe you should try to go pro. And I was like, okay. And then I went with that.
Wow.
You know, so I had some people that really had some faith in me, which I, you know, greatly appreciate now, because without them saying things in my ear, I don't think I would, you know, be where I am. So
that's brilliant. So, I mean, 6 years into your career, 6 or 7 years, and now you've traveled a few countries and played, and it really was never on your mind beforehand.
No, I'm telling you, like, wow. you talk about kids that like dream of playing football and stuff. And it's very odd to say that, like, I can't say that I dreamt of playing professionally. It was just that I had a few things and, you know, continue to work on, you know, many things and, you know, built something that was sustainable in professional football, I guess. And of course, I was blessed with some athletic abilities and things like this and some really good coaches, you know, shaped that. So, yeah. And a lot of other people had faith in me. So I had some good backing.
Yeah. Love that. I mean, there was something you said earlier and it was like, not necessarily using people to get further, but kind of valuing those relationships and those connections. So, I think that it's such a great notion because a lot of the times, especially people who are trying to go pro, can be easy to reach out to people and say like, can you do this for me? Can you do this for me? So for you, like on your journey, how important has that been to kind of establish those true connections that, you know, you can rely on and not necessarily like, you know, rely on them for the next opportunity, just to build the network?
I think network is a good word, but also like understanding that, you know, the people that are helping you because they care and not just because they want something out of it as well. Of course, there are some of those give and take relationships, but like for the most part, the people that have helped me along the way, I'm still in touch with. And that goes way back into high school. And I had some club coaches that I still keep in touch with, like give a jersey to. You know, I know that those were the people that were the foundation of it. So, not taking those things for granted, because there's some people that really get you to where where you are now. And they didn't have to do those things or say exactly, you know, the right things at the right time. So, you know, really cherish those people.
And starting with the now preseason well underway. It's a few months of preseason in Norway. Season's right around the corner finally, or still a few weeks left.
A long corner,
a wide turn. What are your goals personally for the season and what are the team goals going into it?
Personally, of course, I want to play. Last year, Sten Grudebus played. He's a fantastic keeper. And, you know, as you know, there's one keeper on the pitch. And if he has the spot, he has the spot. And he kept good form all year and stayed healthy. So he had the spot. Of course, there was a lot of frustration from my end from that. But I, you know, did my best to keep a calm head around the guys and, you know, just be as social as I could and stuff. So of course it was a difficult year mentally and things like this. And this year we're discussing with the club, you know, what to do, because my priority is playing. We haven't reached a great solution yet, but, you know, we're searching maybe for a loan agreement or, something, because I want to play for the club. And so I would like to come back and play, but we haven't found a good loan opportunity yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, if I'm here, then, you know, I just keep a calm head and do as much as I can and, you know, keep a good level in training and push the guys and stuff and just try to be the best team player I can. It's not the first time I've been a number two, so I know how to handle it. I hate it, but, you know, I do the most I can with it.
Mm-hmm.
Team goals, of course, stay in Eliteserien, which we did last year. We want to do it again. We have quite a few new guys that came in this year, this preseason, but it seems to be a good vibe on the team throughout, and, you know, the new guys seem to be a good fit. So we'll see. I think we still are going to get a couple more players in, and we just need to, you know, keep raising the level in training, and kind of find our footing.
Yeah. And like you said, this isn't the first time you've been in this position in a career, and as a goalie, it's very difficult because, like you said, usually the number one has a spot until they lose it, essentially. Whereas other field players, you can wind up playing different positions, or you come in for a few minutes here and there. How do you deal with that being, because you goalies spend so much time with each other, and you're almost helping your competition improve himself. But it's a balance of being, you know, I have to be a good teammate because this is the current role I'm playing. Yeah. And hopefully in the future, when you're the number one, you need that second string goalie to also push you and support you.
Of course. This is just the reality of the position. There's a one, a two, a three. There can be some fluctuation in there, but normally when the role is set, it's like you either have to lose form, get hurt, or get a red card in order to get your time. There's not so much animosity between the three of the keepers right now. We kind of understand our roles. It's you don't accept the role, you know what I mean? But or maybe you're not happy with the role, but you accept the role. It's like there's a lot of tension, of course, with with what role you're in, and you know it's okay to not be happy in that role because you know you're everyone's striving to be the number one, and if you're not, there's going to be a little tension. But of course, like the best we can do for each other is to have good training sessions and keep a high level and push each other. It's just going to make all of us better. And yeah, just finding good solutions to figure out the situation, whether it be loan agreements or going out and playing with another club, or you know, you have to solve it somehow. But yeah, that's sometimes out of our hands. So, and of course, the coach decides who's going to be playing. So it's not up to us. And, I don't think you should hold a grudge against another guy unless he's going into the coach's office and talking behind your back or something. Then there's not so much you can do about that.
Yeah, in the end, it's tough. I mean, you guys are competing for the same spot. You have the same goals. You have the same mindset, really, that I want to be the guy that helps the team prepare and get to the spot that it can be at. So, I mean, I can only imagine this ecosystem in goalkeeping where you're training with them, you're training with the goalkeeper coach, and there's it could probably be quite easy to kind of compare yourself to the others, like kind of see, oh, they made a mistake. Okay, here's my chance. But I think that could sometimes be a little bit halting in the way that it's not, it's taking you out of the present. It's kind of taking away from your goals and what you're trying to do. So, I mean, in that role, because you've been in both roles where you've been the starting and you've been the second string, as a second string, what is like the best way to approach that in training? Is it taking it all in for what it is?
To not compare. To have kind of your own focus points before going into the trainings and, you know, okay, I know this guy is the one. Let me just try and be the best I can today and work on maybe holding a few more balls and, you know, work on my distribution and having my head up a little bit more. And let me, you know, find some points that help me improve because, you know, at one point he may not be the one anymore, or I'm going to be the one, maybe not at this club, but at another club. And it's like, if I don't focus on what I'm doing, then I'm not going to be the best I can be for whatever club I'm at. So, you know, I think it's kind of focusing in your own lane. I don't know if you've ever seen that picture of the swimmers. You know, they're in different lanes and one guy's looking to the side and one guy's looking forward. And it's like, you know, that's how you have to be. You have to be looking forward because or kind of focusing on yourself.
And like you said, otherwise it's stunting your growth, which in a way can halt a move away or halt your move to be the first string keeper in that. So another thing I think can be quite stressful and quite daunting on your mental approach to the game is, as players, playing in the game is our bread and butter. That is the thing that we look forward to the most. So I mean, when you're in that role where you're not getting those first team games, is there any way to kind of find the ways to look forward to training and make those your games?
Like I said before, going into the trainings with an idea of like what to focus on and stuff and trying, like striving for improvement, like focusing on the mastery of the craft rather than like, oh, I want the game. You know what I mean? Everyone wants the games, but like if you can't get the games, you know, you still need to be focusing on your craft. Yeah. So I think, kind of diving into the idea of like goalkeeping and, you know, really honing the craft.
Yeah.
That's the focus.
And staying on that, let's kind of dive into the keeper and what are some things or what are some keys that make a top goalkeeper that you've found over the years?
90% mental.
90%. Okay. Wow.
I think it's a very high mental component to goalkeeping, you know, staying focused. If your mind drifts, refocusing, you know, there's so much about focus, you know, you can lose your focus easily, but like it's how quick you get it back. You know, being able to recover from mistakes, these things, like they make up so much of goalkeeping, I guess. Mm. And now you can say like the other, 5% is with the feet. And then the other 5% is, you know, saving the ball. But there's so much with the mental side, I think, with goalkeeping. Also like handling things off the pitch too, you know, being the number two and all these things. But yeah, I mean, there's so much focus nowadays on like your diet and what you're doing in the gym and how much sleep you're getting and all. There's these things, of course, they're important, but maybe they make up the foundation of it. But then, you know, I think the mental side is super, super important. And I think people let that slide sometimes.
So in your experience, when, you know, cause it can come up and down the mental side of it, you can feel like you're in a good zone at some points and you can feel like you're in a not so good zone at some points. So for you, I mean, again, like it's very easy to be your toughest critic too. Oh, so yeah. when you let in goals and when you think you made mistakes or when even maybe it's not even your fault, but you know, again, you're your harshest critic, how important is it? And what has been your kind of facility in terms of regaining your composure, regaining your mental confidence to attack again the next time?
I think I have a couple points on that. I think to this day, I'm still my toughest critic. And I think that's okay. I think you should be aware of it and know that sometimes, okay, I'm being a bit too harsh, so like relax. And then I think within a game, if like you make a mistake and then I think, okay, like don't think about it now, but like after the game, then I'm going to be quite harsh on myself. And then I forget what the other thing I was going to say.
Maybe we'll get out of you later.
Maybe it'll come back to me. But yeah, I would say, yeah. Try to forget it, of course, as quick as you can on the pitch. You know, mistakes. Oh, simplify after something like this happens. You know, simplify. Mm-hmm. I had a couple games like back 2 years ago with Olesund, and maybe I have one mistake in these two games, and then my coach was just like, simplify. You know. Don't try and do too much. Like, just simplify. If you feel a little under pressure, just kick it long. Like, you know, get the confidence back and, like, get the ball moving again. And then that's what I did, you know, just simplified. And I felt like that worked. So, yeah, simplifying after mistakes is the best way to kind of regain your confidence.
And now rewinding the clock a bit before your European venture, you played at Bucknell University for 4 years and then with the New York Red Bulls U23 in MPSL, which I'm assuming was just in the summers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Was there any, like you said, becoming pro wasn't quite a thought, but when it did become a thought, was it ever a thought, okay, let me leave the country and play? Because it went from never thinking about it to then all of a sudden you're in Denmark playing.
Yeah, it was very quick though when... Let's say like my college coach came up to me on the bus once. He was like, I want you to go to this camp. And I was like, why do you want me to go to this camp? I don't want to go to a camp. And he was like, like, Mike, it's because I think you can play professionally, and like I think you need to be seen by some other eyes and stuff. And I was like, oh. And then he was just like, there's a guy over in Denmark that I want to introduce you to. He wants to bring you over, you know, train with a couple teams after my freshman year. And I was like, okay, like, sounds like a really cool experience and stuff. So I went and did that. And then all of a sudden, the team that I trained with was like, okay, we want to sign him now. So then I come home from that trip and I'm telling my parents, like, hey, they want me to skip college and like just go play. And they were like, no chance. So I ended up going back to college for 3 more years. And then, you know, got the phone call when that was done to come back over. And then, yeah, the rest was history. So I didn't really get the idea in my head to play abroad until my freshman year of college. And then after that, I knew that was probably what was going to happen.
And walk us through some of the expectations versus the reality of kind of making that move over and how you saw it before and then how it actually was and how it became.
Well, of course, everyone thinks like, you know, professional footballers are making, you know, tons and tons of money. And of course, in some cases, that's true. When I first came over, you know, I make a couple $1,000s a month. You know, I have to live with 4 other guys and, you know, you get taxed 40%. So now you don't have so much money. And then look, I'm very blessed to have not had to have like jobs on the side and stuff while I've been playing. But of course, that was not the situation for some. And what else was it? Yeah, the jump in skill level. I had another buddy that I played with at Red Bulls and at college, and he was the best player I played with, you know, for those years. And I was like, this guy's gonna go so far, you know. And when he came over, he played second division and first division and never broke through to like the Superliga. And it was mind-boggling, but like there was hundreds of this guy, you know.
Yeah,
everyone was at that level already. And had been playing since they were 16, 17 with professionals. And we were just like coming out of college and, you know, this guy was walking over people in college. And then when he came abroad, it was like he was playing against, you know, 10 other guys that were at the same level or higher. Mm. So, yeah, that's kind of the reality of it.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, tactically, you kind of have such an interesting view as a keeper. So mm-hmm. like from behind, I mean, what kind of things like really impressed you in terms of this transition, in terms of this difference of level? What things could stand out to you?
Well, in college, it was mostly like kicking long, you know, yeah. Just playing long, playing up to, you know, our big strikers. They take it down, lay it off, and, you know, we kind of build from there. And then coming abroad, it was like there was such a big focus on playing out with the feet, and it was, you know, it was an adjustment, and it's still something that, you know, I have to constantly work on. And field players, I don't know what it is, but they get so frustrated with keepers when they kick the ball away or something. It's like, I don't know. I hate field players to this reason.
Chill out, guys.
Really? Like, relax. Like, I'm not gonna, I don't know. I'd rather kick it on than play into, you know, stupid kind of
exactly
pressure.
Safety yeah, dangerous first positions, exactly yeah.
But yeah, it's something that I'm consistently working on, so but yeah, that was a big difference as well from playing out from the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else? Obviously playing out from the back is a big one, but just in the goalkeeping training and the level, was it a big difference for you when you went there?
When I went from goalkeeper training in college or even at Red Bulls to abroad, like I think the first ball that the goalkeeper coach kicked at me went straight through my hands and hit me in the face. Like he hit the ball so hard and I was like,
welcome.
Yeah, really. I was just like, what am I in for? Like, is this how it's going to be? So it was a very quick adjustment to like, of course, the pace that these guys were hitting the ball so much harder. And yeah, I think your sharpness just had to be there. Like I said, they were hitting the ball harder and they were hitting it more accurately. So you really had to be there. And they didn't care that you were 17, 18 years old. Like, you know, you have
it
to
does
be
not matter. Level.
Yeah. 28, 29, 32, whatever. Like, you have to be able to perform at that level. So, yeah, it's a quick
stepping smack. Stepping away from the field. I mean, this transition not only is like a growth opportunity for you as a player, but also as a person. Stepping into a new environment, always kind of how the saying goes is, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone is how you truly grow. So from that time era and even until now, what sort of things, you know, living abroad, playing abroad in these unfamiliar circumstances, how do you feel like that's helped you grow as a person?
Immensely. Anyone that would have the opportunity to do something like this, I would always say do it, because you grow a crazy amount. And I think there's so many lessons that's learned from doing something like this compared to staying in the States and, you know, working a desk job and just being around your friends and stuff. Like, there's so much growth opportunity in doing something like this, and stepping out of your comfort zone. And I always believe that, like, you know, you grow the most outside of your comfort zone. So I also try to do as many things here as possible that I'm not comfortable with. Because I think that there's a lot of growth in that. So, yeah. And like I said, there's so many lessons learned like along the way. 6, 7 years abroad now, and different countries and different players and players from all different countries. And, you know, I don't have my hometown friends and family here. So, you know, I have to figure things out by myself, or, you know, like I said, with people around the club. But yeah, there's a lot of growth in it.
And in terms of staying level and just enjoying life wherever you're at, what are some things you like to do outside of football to simply enjoy where you are?
In Denmark, I tried to pick up like fly fishing and golf. I've been golfing all my life, but I tried to golf outside of football. And there was a big cafe culture in Denmark as well. So we went to cafes after training and stuff. And then when I moved to Norway, it was like, you know, within 2 weeks we were sledding down a 1,000 meter high mountain, which was like one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, because you hiked all the way up it and the snow was up to your hip and I thought I was gonna die.
Is it sledding?
Yeah, we took little sleds all the way up this mountain.
1,000 meters?
It was like a 2 hour
That's wild.
Hike. It was like a 2 hour hike, like you're stepping through the snow all the way up this mountain. And then we sled down. We have these headlamps on, and it was insane.
Jeez. That's sick.
And then, yeah, someone introduced me to diving here. So I got into spearfishing. I hated it the first couple times, and then it just became like an addiction. So now I do it like as much as I can.
Yeah.
As much as I can without it affecting football.
Right.
Hiking, camping, fishing. Yeah. Whatever the culture here like promotes, then I'm doing it.
Love that. Speaking on this time in Denmark, there is one specific game that kind of stood out to us, and this was this round of 16 cup game against the Superliga team AC Horsens, because I'm probably butchering that pronunciation, but you end up signing for them the next year. So, yep. I mean, in that performance, I think 7 saves, man of the match, huge 1-0 victory. You're looking at me like that's
seven,
wrong.
I had 7 saves in that game.
From what we found.
From our research, yeah. I mean, numbers lie sometimes.
I have to rewatch this game, because that's not the way I remember it.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
Oh, lower. Okay, well, we're going to stick with
we're going to stick with 7 then.
Yeah, we're going to stick with 7.
Shocked, but all right. Yeah.
But like in terms of this game and then what came after, did it feel like like that break? Like this was the hard work that you were putting in to like get to that moment?
Nope.
It was, not at all.
Oof. Like in Aalborg, I had very few games. I played some reserve games, but then I had some cup games. And the cup games were so far apart from each other. And when you don't have games, and I was younger, I didn't maybe have the right mental structure for handling this kind of like pressure, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
And so for these games, I was so nervous. And like, so I was going into these games really nervous. During warmups of this game, I remember someone from behind the goal saying like, "Lansing, you belong on the bench," or something. Like, "You should be on the bench. Like, why are you not on the bench?" or something. And it was our own fan, like our own fans. So
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And I remember that, of course that stuck with me, and I was like, you know, fuck that guy. Maybe I have to bleep that out, but whatever.
No, we don't.
That's good. And then in that game, I remember like a back pass, and I went to go clear the ball and I slipped, and then it became this funky situation in front of the goal. And then, you know, that ball got cleared. I remember my heart racing, and I don't remember these seven saves. Like maybe I blacked out or something. I don't know.
I blacked out.
I don't remember having like such a good performance that game, but okay. Of course we won 1-0. And then I don't remember how long after that I was out of contract with Aalborg. They wanted to re-sign me, you know, but it was still to be a number two there, which at the time I was like, okay, I need to make a move. I need to get some games, you know, so I didn't re-sign. And then Horsens came along quite, you know, later in the window, and I signed with them. And then their goalkeeper, Matai, who I still speak with today, I don't want to say he had bad form, but like the team had bad form that previous year. So they were kind of looking for solutions, and I had a decent preseason, and they kind of just went with me, and I had a pretty good start to the season. Played the first 14 games, maybe. Then I got a red card. And then from there out, then Matai stepped in, and Matai held his own. Like he did really well in the games that he had. And then they went with him. And this is the life of a keeper.
And
I had to look for my next move. And Monty is still at Horsens, you know, to this day. So, like, you know, sometimes, you know, this is just how it is.
Yeah, that's football. I mean, it's so harsh because, like you said, you played the first 14 games. It seemed the team was doing pretty well, too. And then you get a red card situation where you just come out, the striker beats you to the ball. It happened a million times, but then here you go, you miss the next two games, and then your spot's gone.
Yep.
And for the rest of the season, I guess he played really well, and he never got it back.
Nope.
And that's football.
And it was more than the rest of that season. It was the rest of that season plus another 6 months, because I ended up having to get a knee surgery at the end of that year. They added on 6 months to my contract so that I had some time to recover from it. But like, as soon as that next season started, I was already healthy. So then it was just another 6 months on the bench when I was healthy. And so it was frustrating. But back to the original thing, I don't think I thought, okay, this is my break, until I started playing for Horsens. It wasn't, you know, sometime at Aalborg. It was when I made the move to Horsens and actually got a couple games and did well and made some good saves and stuff. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can do something here. Yeah. But like, sometimes you just need some game experience to realize like, okay, I can do this. And I think at the time I was like, you know, I have nothing to lose now. Like,
yeah,
right. Now I'm 3 years in, like we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So then what comes next? I mean, you have this feeling, you have the knee surgery afterwards. How does that transition into Norway happen?
That was another 6 months on the bench. And of course, like, word gets around that like you're frustrated or you don't want to get a move. And one of the players that I had played with, Sievert, his dad was the coach at Olesund, and he got word that like I wanted to go, and he told his dad, and his dad was like, yeah, we want him. And so that happened quite quickly. And then they were like quite sure, I guess, about me. And they said, like, we want you for 3 years. So put a 3-year deal in front of me. And, you know, they were saying that they were looking at me as the one. And I said, yeah, let's go. Yeah. And then when I got here, we had our first goalkeeper training and stuff. And I'm watching these guys and I'm like, why the hell did you bring me in? Like, these other guys,
like, they're nice,
decent. I was, yeah, like, why'd I come here? Like, what are you doing? You know?
Here we go again.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? But then, good preseason. Yeah. The keeper who was the number one the year before, he broke his foot during preseason. The other keeper, who's like the second or third choice, stayed the second or third choice. And then, mm-hmm, and then we had such a long preseason because it was COVID times. Mm-hmm. So I don't think our first game was until May. So it was just preseason match, internal match, local team. You know, it was so many games. So just got in the flow of things. And then as soon as that first game hit, it was like we just hit the ground running.
Yeah. I mean, that, let's talk about that 2021 season, because it's a quite an eventful season. Yep. Started every game that year, didn't you, when the season did finally come around? Yep. So first, what was that feeling like, to kind of going through those struggles before, of up and down, of getting the chance, or, you know, having it taken away from you? How did it feel like to be the guy again, and to be the one that's helping the team?
It was everything. And that's what I'm, you know, striving for now, to get that back. But that's what you chase. Yeah, it was an amazing feeling. And I think the first game was good. Second and third game, I think, were a bit rocky. And then we just started to catch form. And then all of a sudden we didn't lose for like 30 games, I think, including, wow, cup. So it was, mm-hmm, like, we just went on a run. And yeah, so that was really special. That year was insane and, you know, crazy memorable. And I had a few friends that year that were always up for adventures. So every either COVID break or international break, we were going somewhere, going to some cabin or going fishing. And it was, yeah, incredible. And plus we were winning. We were, yeah, having a good time. Yeah, it was.
That always helps the winning.
Yeah, it was.
Walk us through the pressures and emotions of that, of getting promoted into, from at the time it was second tier, and you guys got promoted into the top division in Norway.
Yeah. The pressures of it. I don't remember feeling like too much pressure until maybe the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the middle, I lost a little bit of form, and then, you know, kind of got it back. It fluctuated a little from like midway through, but I like to blame that on my groin. I had to get a groin surgery after the year as well, but yeah, I don't, maybe I got too comfortable in the middle of the season too, or but then at the end of the year it was like, yeah, then it got quite close, and we needed a few points at the end. And those games were quite close. Mm. So they got a little sticky. It was exciting and also a little bit stressful, but it was a lot of fun. It was, I think I really soaked it in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like the encapsulation of a great year, like you said, on and off the field. Mm-hmm. Any special memories that kind of stand out from the season?
Definitely we had the promotion game against Old Chisa at home, packed stadium, you know, fireworks. My sister was there. It was, you know, it all kind of came together. But like during that game, we won 4-2, and it was, you know, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. And then we took off and did 3-2, 4-2. But those first two goals were like, I felt like I could have had it, or I could have, maybe I should have came for that ball, or, you know, something. And so that, as a, from a goalkeeper's perspective, it wasn't like I don't think I 110% soaked in that day. I was still kind of thinking about those situations, but it was like, it was the culmination of the year that I really should have celebrated, not just that day of winning. And
yeah,
but yeah, we had some fun parties after that. So it was, I got to celebrate a little more there.
Love that. I mean, so that we won't dive too much into it because we did talk a lot about it already, but just this idea, I mean, because the next season after helping a team get promoted, unfortunately, you do lose the starting spot to, I mean, a great keeper who has national team caps and, you know, has made his way around the world too. Mm-hmm. So I guess to kind of bring it into the theme here, what advice would you give those who are kind of in a scenario, and especially for goalkeepers in the scenario where, you know, it may not be so ideal, but, you know, to try and make the best out of it and get to a place that's better for you mentally?
Yeah. Like you said, try and get the best out of it. And don't be afraid to reach out to people too. Like, I have a sports psychologist that I work with. I had one that I was working with from Denmark up until last year. And then I started working with someone at the club, you know, currently. And, you know, we just work on different strategies and stuff, how to deal with stuff, or, you know, also just organizing your thoughts is healthy. And I think, you know, sports psychology needs to be a little bit more accepted, you know, because I think especially as guys, we try to like hide our emotions and stuff. And I think it's okay to, you know, talk about these things. Doesn't mean I'm mentally weak or anything like this. It's just like, you know, it's something that you want to improve and like try and help your game. And like I said, goalkeeping 90% mental. And like, if you're not working on it, then, you know, then it's, just, I don't want to say it's going downhill, but like you should be working on it. But yeah, try to make the most out of the situation. Like, you don't want to look back and say, I should have worked harder, even though I was the two. Like, I should have done the gym a little bit more. I should have been on the pitch a little bit more. And then also, like, off the pitch, take care of your mental. Like, do things that you enjoy, like, truly enjoy. And surround yourself with people. Don't isolate yourself, as I sit here in a cabin away from the city, but that's okay.
Sometimes that's, you know, the solace is good too.
This is the lifestyle I like anyway. So
yeah.
Yeah. Just and don't be afraid to reach out to people too. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. And reflecting on the journey right now, what things would you say helped you to get to this moment? So in other words, why did Mike make it as a pro and why is he still going?
Because I'm still going. I think it's always been like, just keep going. There's been quite a few times, I think, where I could have thrown in the towel and said, this isn't for me, or this is too much. And it's kind of just been like, never quit and see where it goes. And then, like I said, the people along the way that kind of help, you know, don't step on them on the way up, but like, bring them with you, I guess. I still have the same hometown friends. I still have the same college friends. You know, don't push people away. And staying true to who I am, I guess. Yeah. But I did not do this alone. There were many people along the way. And I think that's what also helped get me here.
Couldn't agree more. The support system and everyone that's helped you get to this moment right here. Love that. So we're going to head into a nice little fast feet round after some deep questions before. Lighten the mood a little bit here. So the first one, favorite player growing up?
Like I told you, I was not a huge football fan growing up. So it wasn't necessarily that I had one growing up, but like I would say now it would be Casillas and Ter Stegen.
Love it. Favorite moment in football?
The promotion game.
Most difficult moment.
Finding out that Sten was signing for Olsson.
I was gonna say we're gonna take a pause from the fast feet round. Can you divulge on that moment for us? Because like that's a very important moment there.
There were some rumors, but then it was like, they're not gonna take him in. They can't afford him. Yada yada yada. Okay, they're thinking about it, and then 10 minutes later, it was like Sten Grudebus signs for OFK, and it was just like heart dropped. And it's not like you want to just hand over the reins, but you could just kind of know what comes along with it. And it wasn't like I wanted to whimper in a corner, but he comes in, you see his level, and they kind of tell you some things as well, and you're like, yeah,
you see what's coming.
Yeah, but
it's part of the game.
We, like I said, we look for some solutions, and and it's not like I ever dropped my level or said, I'm just going to let him have it. I still held my own and still pushed as hard as I could. But like, props to him. He did well.
Right. And I'm sure with that, too, just to stay on is I'm sure you can learn so much from a keeper like him. I mean, he's technique, so experienced, right?
Many things.
Best advice you ever received?
Oh, I wrote this down.
Nice.
Being realistic is the most commonly traveled path to mediocrity.
Mm. Ooh, damn.
I like drop that. Drop the mic.
Yeah, I like that you wrote that down. That's fire. Very nice. Yeah. Best player you ever played with and against?
Ooh, and against. With was probably Edison Flores. He plays for Peru. This guy is crazy. Against, it was probably in Denmark. I can't think of this. Damendoy.
Probably Damendoy? Okay.
Yeah, from FCCO. There's definitely some other players in there, but can't think of them at the moment.
If you kind of alluded to this already, but if you weren't a footballer, what would you be?
A fisherman or in the FBI
or an FBI or fisherman.
Baseball as well, but in my freshman year of college, I was doing, ROTC.
Yeah.
Did that alongside of football. So I was waking up at like 5 o'clock.
Wow, that's a crazy schedule. Yeah.
Oh, my grades were terrible. Like,
you can imagine.
That's a tough balance.
I'm sure you were hella fit though.
I think I was fit, but it was not good for the grades or for my sleep. Because I'm a night owl, so that was rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you have a favorite book?
Ooh, The Power of Now.
Yeah.
Or Tim Grover, Relentless.
Love that.
That's a good one. Any quote or mantra that you live by?
I see you got Atomic Habits behind you. That's a good one,
too. I do. Also, Tim Winning. You ever read Tim Grover's Winning book? It's a more recent one.
Winning. I haven't read
good one.
David Goggins. One. That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
That's another good one.
I listened to David Goggins' audiobook. I listened to his audiobook. It was really good.
Which one? The recent one or the older one?
I think it's never finished.
Yes. Yeah, that's the most recent one, this one.
But
both are great.
Oh, what's the old one for David
Goggins? The old one is Can't Hurt Me.
That was the one.
That came out maybe 3 years ago.
He talks in between the chapters with some guy.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
No.
No.
Nice. Did we answer that last one? Any quote or mantra that you live by?
I don't know about mantra, but treat people well and enjoy life. Like, cherish every moment kind of thing.
Love that.
All right.
Mike, we want to thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure just hearing about your path, hearing about your, you know, the wisdom that took you to this journey and everything that made you who you are. So we want to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands that make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not,
I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor. It doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.